This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Two people in the hospital this afternoon after an accident in North Fort Worth involving a charter bus full of kids and a semi. It happened along 287 north of Bonds Ranch Road. Police are still looking into what happened, but video from our partners at NBC 5 shows the bus stop behind a rock hauler with the front end of the bus damaged. The kids on board are reported to be part of a Christian youth group from Colorado.
DART leadership and some of its member cities get into it at the state capitol over accusations of overcharging.
Plano Republican State Rep Matt Shaheen's House Bill 3187 would create an alternative payment structure for transit authorities and limit the sales tax they impose.
Six of the member cities are forced to overpay DART for their services.
Highland Park Mayor Will Beacherl testified in favor of the bill.
Highland Park has no light rail infrastructure and one bus route that accommodates approximately 60 riders per day at the cost of over $300 per rider.
DART CEO Nadine Lee said the bill would defund DART by $7 billion over the next 20 years.
Ridership will plummet as service quality declines. That will create a downward spiral until the entire system collapses.
In Austin, Chris Fox, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
So you're walking around White Rock Creek Trail and suddenly you realize you're not alone.
It was another coyote incident in Dallas, this time involving a coyote chasing two children who ended up with minor injuries. A parent who was with the kids was able to chase the coyote away. Dallas Animal Services is working with the City Park Department, which is encouraging park goers to be aware of their surroundings and to have their dogs on a leash. Signs have been put up in the area, which is in between White Rock Road and Winstead Drive, next to the trail itself. From the 24-Hour News Center, Eric Bushman, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Cowboys pick Tyler Booker, so what's everyone think about the pick?
The general manager that drafts Tyler Booker knows that they're going to get one of the elite guards in the NFL for a decade. And when they put in that pick, they're probably going to get booed. People aren't going to be excited about it. There's going to be all sorts of sports talk radio about it. And they're going to have to endure that. But they're also going to sleep like babies on Thursday night of the draft, getting ready for Friday, because they know they just got a starter who's going to be a great player and is going to bring that kind of level of attention to detail and team leadership that you look for in your locker room.
That's Todd McShay. He's a draft expert. Round two and round three starts at 6 o'clock. Cowboys have the number 44 pick and the number 76 pick. And what does that mean as far as 44? How far is that from the top? Is it about 12, 14 down?
You're 12 into the second round.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, most Cowboy fans weren't too upset with that non-sexy pick as Todd McShay. We didn't hear any kind of boos. At least I didn't when I talked to him last night.
I do see firming up the offensive line. I think he's going to be a very quality player, like, for a while.
I have not heard of him before. I hope it works out well. We need some help on the front line, so yeah, it's probably not a bad pick.
This woman says she's a huge fan, but she's had enough of the Cowboys, though.
They're going to suck, and it won't matter who they draft because they will suck.
Come on.
Well, after 3 days of lying in state in the Vatican, tomorrow, Pope Francis will be laid to rest. The funeral of a pope, that is something that only happens two or three times in most people's lifetimes.
Yeah, the last time a pope died in office, so to speak, was 2005.
That's John Paul II.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, this is going to be a spectacle worth seeing, even if you're not Catholic. Dr. Susan Hansen, history professor at the University of Dallas, joins us right now. Dr. Hansen, thanks so much. What can we expect tomorrow?
Well, it's definitely going to be an extraordinary celebration. St. Peter's Basilica is the largest church on planet Earth. St. Peter's Square is the largest outdoor piazza, outdoor square on planet Earth. And so this is going to be an extravaganza, as anyone who has seen papal celebrations in St. Peter's Square before knows. There's definitely a certain sense in being in a kind of outdoor church setting where there are sculptures of the saints all around Bernini's famous colonnade around the piazza. There's really a sense of being in connection, in a celebration that's kind of connected to heaven. You know, you can see the sky, you can see the gorgeous sunsets, you know, the birds flying overhead. It really has a kind of celebratory character to it.
I think it's so interesting that he's going to be buried in just a plain wooden casket. That says a lot about the man.
Yes. He's going to be buried in a plain wooden casket, and he's also going to be buried outside of St. Peter's Basilica. He's going to be buried at the Church of St. Mary Major in Rome, and that is the largest and oldest of the basilicas dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary in Rome. And Pope Francis has had a very deep, long devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. He's always stopped at St. Mary Major when he leaves Rome. He stops at St. Mary Major when he returns to Rome. And that's where he wanted to be buried.
And then after the burial, it's going to be time for the conclave of cardinals to choose a new pope. What are the considerations going to be here?
Well, I definitely think that these past three popes, John Paul II, Benedict XVI, and Pope Francis, as non-Italian popes, are all three of them an anomaly in the history of the long history of the papacy. And so Pope Francis was, of course, the first New World Pope, the first Pope from the Americas. And I think that it will be very interesting to see whether the Church wants to return to normalcy with an Italian Pope, but at the same time, the desire to have a Pope who represents the growth areas of the Catholic Church in Africa and Asia could continue. Right, the tradition of having a non-Italian pope. So we'll see which one the cardinals decide on.
So who do you see as the top candidates?
I think that Cardinal Burke, who was the longtime head of the Roman Rota, which is essentially the Supreme Court of the Catholic Church, is a very big name. And Cardinal Erdo from Hungary. So that would be an American or a European. In terms of Africa and Asia, I think a lot of people are talking about various African cardinals like Cardinal Seurat, who is very well known and has worked in the Roman Curia and has published a number of books that have, you know, really marked him as a deep theological thinker. And then some people are talking about Cardinal Tagle from the Philippines, who would be an Asian cardinal.
I've heard him referred to as the Asian Francis.
That's right, yes. People see him as kind of carrying on Pope Francis's legacy of going out to the margins, going out to the peripheries. Of course, Asia is a periphery for Christianity. There are 1.4 billion Catholics in the world, which is about the same as the population of China and the population of India. But neither China nor India are Christian-majority countries at this stage in history. And so, of course, the enthusiasm for evangelizing Asia for the Christian gospel, you know, would, you know, lead you to think about the possibility of a Asian Francis, as you say.
We're going to find out. I know we're all going to be waiting for the white smoke. It's the white,
true.
Right? It's not the black, all right?
Yeah, the white one is. We got a pope.
We got one. Dr. Hansen, appreciate the time. That is Dr. Susan Hansen, history professor at the University of Dallas. Must be a law that in the first round of the NFL draft, the Cowboys must choose an offensive lineman named Tyler. Tyler Smith in 2022, Tyler Guyton last year, and last night.
With the 12th pick in the 2025 NFL draft, the Dallas Cowboys select Tyler Booker, Alabama.
And I know, no offense to Tyler Booker, but there were probably a lot of people at that point. Who?
Yeah.
Tyler,
a lot of
Tyler.
Fans. When I was at the bar, I was getting reaction, and I noticed when they said his name, One golf clap.
Well, look, you know what? There's certainly a hole to fill on that offensive line. Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, 105.3 The Fan. He is in studio with us right now to talk about this.
Are you awake here?
Hey, I'm awake. Could you guys imagine if they would have re-signed Tyler Biotish at center a couple years ago, too?
Right. Oh, my gosh. That's four guys.
And still had Tyron Smith.
Yeah.
You know? NFL Network had Booker at number 33 overall. So the obvious question here was this a reach?
No. I mean, I think the NFL in general, teams across the league, thought Tyler Booker was a top 20 player. And the Cowboys felt really good about the pick. And I know I saw a little bit of feedback yesterday. People were like, all right, well, is this the coaches kind of forcing their way onto the scouts, or who really made this pick? This was everybody. Everybody was in agreement. They really wanted Tetero McMillan, the receiver from Arizona. When he got taken by Carolina, they were sitting there and just kind of said, all right, we got a bunch of guys that are sort of in the same area. We think equally of them. So let's start looking for tiebreakers. And those tiebreakers were, all right, who really tops in football character, work ethic, leadership? And Tyler Booker was clearly the top one. And so they all felt really good about it and went that direction. But he's a good player that the league thinks highly of, more highly than I think the analysts do.
You know, I listened to your coverage last night. You, Brian Broaddus, Walchuk, you guys were excellent.
Thank you.
Gotta say, you sold me on this guy because he seems like day one, you put him in there, he's a dog, he's ready to go.
Yeah, this is last year when they picked Tyler Guyton. I even said it the day after. I was like, I don't know if Tyler Guyton starts this year because he's so raw. Tyler Smith worked out, but when he first got here, Tyler Smith was incredibly raw. A lot of people thought that was even more of an overdraft than this was last night, and Tyler Smith worked out. That's not going to be the case with Tyler Booker, where you've got a lot of growing pains or a learning curve. This is an NFL-ready starting offensive lineman today. He can step in, start 17 games for you, and play at a high level. So now how high his ceiling is, how much better he can get, I guess that can be a question. But in terms of just knowing you got a steady, reliable, really high mental processing type of player on your offensive line, that is assured.
Is it unfair to him, though, to say, well, okay, we've got Zach Martin replaced?
Yeah, but I mean, I get it. It's just it happens to be the change for Zach Martin. If you're talking about replacing the Zach Martin we saw last year, that player wasn't very good. Brock Hoffman was able to replace him pretty easily. But yeah, I mean, it's you're stepping into big shoes. This is nobody's more prepared than this kid is, though. And I say kid because, I mean, he just turned 21 10 days ago.
That's all right.
He's a young one, but he went to high school at IMG Academy, the largest, arguably, football program in the country for high schoolers. He then goes to Alabama, arguably the largest, most intensely scrutinized program in college football, and now he's here with the Cowboys. He's been built for this.
And I'll say this, I loved the enthusiasm on his part.
Oh, yeah.
When his name was
called, he answered everything.
This kid was over the moon.
Yeah, he is somebody who instantly you hear him when he talks to Jerry on the Secret Audio or Brian Schottenheimer, Clayton Adams, or you just hear his interactions. It's easy to see really quickly why he broke so many ties for them. He clearly loves the game of football, really strong leadership. I texted with his offensive line coach at Alabama yesterday and asked him, and he said he is the greatest leader I've ever coached in a locker room.
Yeah, love it. All right, we got to go second, third rounds there today. Who are the Cowboys? I would have to think running back or wide receiver, maybe in that order. Do you expect the same?
Yeah, I mean, I think running back and receiver are two blinking lights. They also could probably stand to use a corner, and they don't have a fourth-round pick. And so I think they're going to try and just see how the board falls, hope one of those three positions is near the top when they get there. And then if they get to day three and they still don't have one of those positions, then they might look to some veteran trade, see if they can fill it out that way. But, yeah, this is a case of they've kind of got more holes than they do picks and opportunities to fill them. But I think they're going to find quality players today.
They have, what, is 44? Is that their next pick?
44, and then they're in 76, I think it is.
How far is Cam Scataboo going to fall?
Hopefully right out of the draft as a Texas fan, and I am not a fan of Cam Scataboo.
I went to ASU, so I'm like, yeah, he's the man.
Cam Scataboo, I think most people you talk to around the league, they say fifth, sixth round.
Okay, really? All right.
Yeah, a guy who's just, I mean, they really love the intensity and the competitiveness and some of what he does, but I think there are just athletic limitations.
And how about Shador? I you know, when the Giants drafted back up at the bottom of the first round, I thought, oh, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
And then they didn't go. He dropped out of the first round.
I was surprised that it ended up being Jackson Dart. I think Cleveland's got two of the first four picks today. They need a quarterback. The Raiders have the fifth pick in the second round. I would be surprised if he gets past the Raiders at 37. So either Cleveland or the Raiders. But, I mean, he really turned off some people during the pre-draft process with sort of the
bad interviews.
Nature.
Yeah. I'm telling
maybe
you.
Maybe the Raiders will get him. He could be the next Jamarcus Russell.
Perfect fit, yeah.
Exactly.
Terrible thing to say.
I'm just thinking, I just saw the video that he posted. He said, obviously they made a mistake today. This guy, he was a first round, you talk about a fall. He was an easy first rounder predicting about a month, 2 months ago, and then just recently.
Well, he's going to come into the league with a chip on his shoulder, that's for sure.
There's that. He gets compared often as a mechanically the type of quarterback he is to Geno Smith. And Geno Smith actually had a very similar fall out of the first round when he got picked two, and Geno Smith is now the quarterback with the Raiders. And so, I mean, it could all kind of tie together and fit.
Right. Boy, what a weird world.
Second round starts when?
Is it 6 o'clock Central tonight.
6 o'clock, and they speed it up a little. How long between picks?
Yeah, so they start, basically, it'll start, you'll start seeing them churn it out, and then by day three, we're going 5 minutes at a time.
Okay.
But they won't even use up all the clock on this one. They'll start pretty quickly going through their picks, trying to make trades. This will start picking up some pace, especially on day three, but I would say Dallas probably going to pick somewhere around 7 is probably likely when they would pick the first time, and then, you know, 3 hours after that, 2-3 hours after.
All right, and one last quick question. How many starters are you hoping the Cowboys can get out of this draft? It seems like they need more than normal.
I think immediate impact starter, you can reasonably hope that's your first-round pick. You wish it's your second. I think there's enough depth here, and they have enough holes, you might be able to find one in the second. But this is a pretty deep draft. It wasn't top-heavy, but it's pretty deep in the middle. So you might be able to find some, you know, right-now contributors for your team.
Bobby, we appreciate you swinging by the fifth floor on your way out of the building.
Listen to this coverage, by the way. They're the best ones.
Thank you.
You even braved the men's room down here.
I did. I was good.
After
was
he
good.
Used it.
I was good.
Bobby Bell, Cowboys Insider, 105.3 The Fan, is with us here.
The All Local is updated 3 times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.